Hello and welcome to Wookiee and the Bear. My name's Dan, also known as the Bear from the Dice Bear, and with me, as always, is Lewis from at Wookiee Woody.
Yes, at Wookiee Woody.
And how you doing, man?
I'm good.
It's been 2 weeks since we did this, so
it's been. Do you know what? The last month has been mental.
I bet it has.
It's been crazy. I think it was a month ago that I was on my stag do.
Jesus.
And then obviously 2 weeks ago we got married.
We didn't get married.
No, we didn't. No. Just clarify that. Also, I do want to apologise because it's partly my fault that it's been a bit sporadic with releases.
I don't think we can blame you for...
No, we blame Sarah.
We'll blame Sarah.
Who's my wife, yeah. My wife. It's her fault. She wanted to get married and all that. She wanted to have it not in Eastbourne, so...
Just drag us around all over the place.
I know, mate. But we are hopefully now we're back on it.
Yeah.
That expensive party that I spent a year organising is done.
It was good as well.
Here's to New Year's and Christmas now. So apologies in all seriousness for the sporadic releases, but we're back to once a week.
Yeah,
and hopefully. Well, we had other issues, weren't we?
Well, we haven't been able to get hold of comics. It's been a massive issue. Our local comic shop just has had 2 weeks of no deliveries.
It's frustrating, isn't it? Because I was really looking forward to last week's, and then we couldn't get hold of comics, and I tried to get into Brighton to get some.
Yeah, weren't able to do that.
I was just so busy, I couldn't get in before it would close. So yeah, it's a bit of a pain.
And then this week we've had the same thing again happen. Yeah. Scorch hadn't been able to get hold of the comics, so it was like, right, we'll try to get them online. We thought that'd be a great idea, seeing as I couldn't really make it over to Brighton at the times I thought. So it's like, right, we'll order online, and what happened with your...
I ordered online on the Thursday morning. Because it was like next day delivery, I won't grass up the shop. I was like, yeah, I'll order online, brilliant. I'll get it delivered. I'll have it Friday morning, Friday afternoon when I get from work. I can beast for it. And it just didn't turn up. And I was like, oh, there's normally delivery on Saturday, actually. Sometimes they do deliver on Saturdays.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll be here Saturday morning. Nope. And then I got an email saying, your delivery is expected on the 28th, Monday the 28th. And I'm like, well, that doesn't help one bit. Like, what?
Yeah, by that point, we've got new releases.
Luckily for me, you had managed to get hold of some, so I could borrow yours.
Borrow one.
And then, but then again, them this morning.
I didn't manage to get all of the comics I wanted, so I did the same thing. I ordered online, and mine aren't coming until next Wednesday. So there are going to be quite a few comics that have come out that, I mean, there's one I was insanely excited to try to read, which was the final issue of Empress,
yeah.
Which we don't have yet. So hopefully...
Yeah.
Next podcast we'll be able to talk about
my phone.
It's the anger of not having Empress.
That is it. But that said, what I've read of yours, what you did lend me, they're all stuff that I would read anyway. I'm not glad, but the four that I read were pretty damn good.
It's been a really good,
and I'm quite glad that
this
is going to be a positive podcast. It's not going to be. There's no Captain America pissing me off.
No, it's going to be a happy podcast.
Well, there is a little bit of Captain America pissing me off, but we'll get to that later.
But on the whole,
it's going to be maybe cheery. Maybe swearing will be kept low.
Nah, I can't imagine that. We've still got 6 Degrees of Spider-Man to do, and it's your final one.
We do. Right, should we get into it?
One nice thing
is going to be that we've both read all the comics that I'm talking about and you're talking about. So we can actually have a discussion about these comics.
There is actually, before we hit the ones that we've both done, there is one comic, because we missed the week, there is one comic I want to talk about because it completely surprised me.
Go for it.
And you don't know about this one, so it's a nice little shock one for you.
Okay.
Now, you know I'm a big Turtles fan.
Yeah.
I buy lots of the Turtles comics. And recently there was a Batman Ninja Turtles adventure based on Nickelodeon.
I saw it in the shop, but I didn't pick it up. Now, you got it, did you?
I bought this... ages ago, and when I read it, I was like, oh my god, I've got to talk about this on the podcast, because it's fucking brilliant.
Is it really?
It's really good.
So, look through it.
The previous Batman and Turtle ones, where they got together, Turtles ended up in Gotham, and they were there with Batman, they were dealing with that world. And
Peyton Manning.
Peyton, well, that's, you know, he's out of the NFL now. He's writing Batman comics.
They call it Ballgate, I don't know what they call
no,
it.
No, that wasn't Peyton Manning.
I wasn't painting. That was, oh my god.
Shit, what's his name? New England Patriots, sorry.
Manning's Giants, isn't he?
Manning was Broncos, and then, well, Eli is that. We're on to NFL talk. Why are we talking about NFL? Anyway, let's talk about Batman.
Brody is the one I'm thinking of.
Brady. Tom Brady.
Not Brody. Brody's yours. Anyway, let's just carry
on. This is going to be a brilliant podcast. Where we just get. I can't wait till 6 Degrees of Spider-Man.
This is shit already. Sorry, guys. All right.
Anyway, okay, enough of Tom Brady. In that one, they ended up in Gotham, and it was very much like an, oh, okay, Batman deals with stuff. It was this one, all the criminals, super criminals, have disappeared from Arkham Asylum. Okay. And Two-Face talks of this triangle that's allowed them to teleport somewhere. And you're like, okay, I'm not quite sure what's going on.
Yeah.
And then basically you find out that all of the bad guys have teleported to New York where the Turtles are. And the Turtles are basically going to have to face them one at a time. All of the different bad guys from Gotham. So you're getting this really cool mix of your Ninja Turtles facing off against the greatest Batman villains. While Batman is busy doing his detective work back in Gotham, trying to figure out where the hell everyone's gone and what's going on. And I don't know why the twist really appealed to me, but it's the idea of the Turtles having to face off against Batman's bad guys.
Is it a one-shot or is it a series?
No, it's a series.
Nice.
It's really good.
I mean, the artwork is so Nickelodeon-esque.
Yes, yeah. And they are the Nickelodeon Turtles.
Okay, yeah.
So don't go expecting the Eastman and the Laird sort of Turtles. These are Nickelodeon
like, like a Nickelodeon cartoon, kind of that Star Wars Rebel...
Oh, yeah, yeah, the...
The cartoon.
God, why are we doing a podcast? What the?
I don't watch it. But it's like Rebel Wars or something.
Yeah, I know the one you mean, and I can't think of what it is either. Rogue? No, that's something. That's the
Rogue One's coming out in 15.
Rogue One's coming out. Yeah,
I can tell you about that one. I just don't watch the cartoon, and it's called Rebel something, and it's going to annoy me now. Anyway, so you recommend Batman?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Adventures.
I'd say Batman V, but it's not. It's just Batman and the Turtles crossover.
And it's really good, really surprisingly
good. When did
this release? This was, what?
3 weeks ago?
Two, three weeks ago.
So you can still probably grab a copy of
You can grab a copy, and there are hundreds of different covers of them. So I popped into Dave's Comics to try and pick up some of these that I'd missed, and they had a whole shelf absolutely full of them, so I'm pretty sure lots of the comic shops are going to have this.
Oh, nice.
Because it is both IDW and DC, and so there's a lot of...
I'm sure it's bound to be new reader-friendly, because everyone knows the origins of the Turtles.
Yeah.
And it's just starting with a new story. Most people know about Batman nowadays. There's been enough films and enough pop culture around him that people are clued up enough. So people can just jump into this and there's no backstory.
Great fun. Really enjoy it. And
nice. Yeah, Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Adventures. Good work. IDW.
Right, which one do you want to talk about? Now that we can get onto the ones, which one do you want to talk about first?
We always say Civil War till last, so let's say Civil War till last. Let's talk about... Let's go Reborn first, because that's the non-Marvel one.
Okay, this is Mark Miller, who is my new comic book hero.
And we both picked this up, didn't we? Because we were reading Empress.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of galactical fantasy story.
Yeah.
And we both saw this, and it was not galactical, just a fantasy story. And I think we're both in agreement that we're glad we picked it up.
Oh, God, yes.
It's so good. The, I don't know, reading it, the artwork, I can't put my finger on what the artwork reminds me of. We were talking about this the other day, but it a little bit reminds me of Highlander when they're back in rural Scotland.
Yes,
And that's literally what it reminds me of. This, like, because although it's Scotland, it's this weird fantasy kind of setting of Scotland that they're in. It's this weird...
It's a mix. They're in... I don't want to call it heaven and hell, because it's not. And he quite clearly states, her dad, who's got this awesome moustache...
Yeah, Reborn, yeah.
...has stated that God isn't there. Yeah. It's not heaven and hell, but that's the best way of them describing it.
Yeah, so there's effectively... It's very much like The Lion King, in terms of when they stands on Pride Rock and he says to Simba... And Simba says, oh, what's that over there at the Darklands?
Oh, yeah.
He goes, oh, we don't go over there. That's where the bad people are, basically. And that's pretty much what happens in this.
Yes.
The dad says, oh, see that dark mountain over there? That's where people who weren't good when living, when they die, that's where they go. And the good people come here. So we found out that Bonnie, the lead character, who was a teacher, has obviously done very well. Every decision she's done in life has benefited others, and she's been very good. And that's why she's the saviour, I say. We don't completely know what yet, but she's some kind of saviour.
They also talk about the fact that the more good you do during life, the more powerful you are in this world.
Yeah.
But also, did you notice that literally everyone is connected to her?
Yeah.
There's no one there. I love that.
Everyone was like, hey, you fed my cat.
Yeah.
Hey, you used to come around and play with it. I thought it was absolutely brilliant how they had all these characters that linked into her. And I'm glad that I was... Because one thing I do really like about this is every time the page turned, the dialogue had some kind of forward motion on the story. There was It was always making progress, whether that be slowly or quickly. And halfway through the book, I got really a bit concerned. I was like, oh no, they're going to go end of this is going to finish with a battle. They're going to go straight into it. And I was worried they were going to rush it. Like, it was going to be a case of end of this, they're going to go into a big battle, and there wasn't going to be much build up. And what actually happens is she wants to find her husband. So they have gone off to find a husband.
Well, it's her husband and her mom, isn't it? Husband and her mom, never found her mom.
And pets there can be used to find loved ones.
Yeah.
I mean, is it going to be as obvious as that the husband's going to be the lead bad? I don't think it'd be that obvious.
I thought it was going to be the mom.
The mom was... But when we saw the lead bad guy at the end...
We only see it in shadow, though. We don't get...
Well, he's got horns. But then again, so I was trying to work out... So obviously when they come to the good side... Their appearance doesn't change much apart from their attire, really. But their actual physical appearance doesn't overly change.
Yeah, they talked about the fact that
apart
when
from they get younger, they go
back.
Well,
they kind of get to choose how old they are. Or
they don't get to choose. They don't know why, but some people come in old, some people come in young, some people come in... Like her dad come in as a three-year-old boy, he said, so they don't know that. I'd be amazed if the mum and husband weren't either kidnapped and taken to the dark, because they talked about that a lot, that the dark forces take people.
Yeah.
Or if they were linked to it somehow. Because although it'd be obvious, like this comic like oozes 80s movie to me. Like Legend, always the ones that we used to love, Willow, like all those kind of fantasy.
The dog thing, as we were talking about Falcor. Last night as well, Falcor! Was Dark Crystal. All of those 80s kids movies that we loved is... Here, it's kind of like, you know how Empress has been picked up for a movie?
Yeah.
And I can fully understand why. It's a great action-packed 80s movie. I would be shocked if this isn't picked up for a movie.
And Mark Miller's good at pushing for movies. Well, he done Kick-Ass and things like that. So he's got links with movie industry already.
Because this is... I love this. This is, you know...
This also has one of the best laugh-out-loud moments.
Oh my God, the end bit, yes.
At the end here, where they go to the evil side and... And the lead person you see the shadow of is talking to this cat, and he says, "Oh, I understand you have a history with the woman who is going to face off against me." And he says, "Oh, yes, I was her cat." And he was like, "Is this going to affect you?" And the cat goes, "She had my test scores removed when I was nine months old."
She hates him.
So the cat hates her. And then the guy's like, "Brilliant, use it against her."
And then he raises this ice stuff up and kills all these people. And you're like, that cat's going to kill her.
I just like, she had my testicles removed. I was literally like laughing out loud. I was trying to explain to Sarah what it was. And she was like, why is a cat talking about testicles? I was like, I don't know. It's just why such a good book.
It's been muted. Yes.
So brilliant. Funny.
Get hold of it. Anyone listening now.
It's only issue 2 now. And it's monthly. So many shops will still have number one as well.
Yeah, I've seen... lots of and issues of number one there.
Miller World, which is like Mark Miller's site, and that you can go on there and they always have back issues that you can buy off that, and they don't charge more. So definitely think about that. And if you do pick up and you enjoy it, then get Empress as well.
Yes,
it's more galactical and cosmic, but it's same kind of fantasy story.
It's got the pace. It's got a really incredibly interesting world that just has you ask so many questions.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, Reborn. It's so probably good. My favourite one this week.
It's definitely up there.
Come out last week. I've mixed them up.
It's
so
definitely up there. Yeah, it's great.
Right, okay. Next on the list.
Let's go to Thanos, because Spider-Man links in with Civil War quite heavily.
Yes, it does. So this is Jeff Lemire, which I was shocked by.
It is Jeff Lemire, yeah. I didn't even know that until you pointed out to me. You said, oh, Lemire wrote this one, who obviously done who's doing Descender.
Doing Descender, has just finished Death of X.
Yep, I didn't read that. You're going to tell us about that.
I'll tell you about that later. He did the Underwater Diver.
Underwater Welder.
Welder, that's it.
Yeah, but he's a diver as well.
He is a diver as well, but he does welding while he's down.
Yeah.
So Thanos.
Thanos. So, well, what did you think of Thanos?
I loved it. I really enjoyed it. It was... I come from the background of only knowing Thanos as being a big bad guy. I don't really... Because I didn't read Secret Wars.
Yep.
And so I haven't really seen him do any...
It's so confusing. It's just classic Hickman. You're like, what the hell is going on?
But I've always known he's... super powerful and he's, you know, controls everything. And then, of course, they keep hinting him in the Marvel Universe that we're the cinematic universe and
the
we're going to be hitting, you know, all of that lot. And this gives you everything you need to know about Thanos, about where he comes from, and about how evil he is. But with Thanos only really turning up at the end, they really describe what he's like and how he does things through what's gone on while he's been away. So people have taken power, taken control of his empire while he's been away dealing with the superheroes, the Marvel heroes and that lot. And they've all been struggling for power and destroying his world, but also making it more powerful.
Yep.
And then he comes back, squashes them in seconds, and then takes over again.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, okay, he is amazing, he is powerful, he is evil. And then they add a beautiful bit, which was the one part that really set it off for me, which is the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is that,
I was a bit, that
Thanos
took me a bit,
is dying.
That put me a bit, took me a bit by surprise. I mean, Jeff Lemire's writing is so good in this that the story is, again, it's always making progress while giving you insight to what's happened in the past. So any new reader picking this up, even if you have no idea about Thanos, you've just watched a couple of the MCU movies, you're just getting into the Marvel Now thing, and you're like, oh, I'm not going to pick that up because I know he's a bad guy, but I know nothing about him. It does such a good job of saying, well, this is what's happened in the past. And it's not a massive, you're reading big paragraphs on the front page to get catch up with it. It's all done through real nice boxes, real nice fast-paced writing. Artwork is brilliant. You get the instant sense of just how powerful Thanos is.
Yeah.
Without actually seeing it. Like, you see these far-out shots of him coming down and his boots landing and then just destroying stuff, and you get this instant sense of how powerful he is. It's got this kind of side story that's going on with it as well, with Star Fox and Thane, who's Thanos' son. And I don't think this will be more than 8 to 10 issues.
It does feel amazed
if it goes on further than that. It's a little bit like The Empress, kind of. The pace was really quick and good of it, and Thanos, I think, after that, maybe after it's had, maybe it's, I don't know, it might be longer, but my prediction is it's going to be maybe 8 issues long about. And after that, it will then start drip-feeding into other Marvels, as Thanos does. He is his own standalone character, but effectively he's the number one nemesis of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
He's got so many linkings. The Secret Wars is pretty much based around Thanos. There's so many, like the Infinity War, exactly the same, based around Thanos and the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
So many crossovers that happen. Marvel love crossovers as well. And 8 issues doesn't sound like much, but that's 8 months, effectively.
Yeah.
So in 8 months' time, next summer, there could well be a Thanos crossover event.
Which will be heading towards the time they're going to be releasing the Infinity Wars.
Exactly. And that's what Marvel are very good at, aren't they?
Linking it into
They're normally very good. They were shit with Doctor Strange.
Well, that's one thing I want to talk about with this one is that, as you said, this is a great number one. That if you know nothing about it, you can pick this up and start really learning about Thanos without also then having, as you said, trudge through paragraphs of stuff. Whereas with Doctor Strange,
I tried to get into
their number one was awful.
And I just couldn't get my head around what the hell was going on. So this is, if you love the MCU, even if you love or don't love the MCU, but you really like Guardians of the Galaxy, you like the idea of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, you like the idea of the Infinity Wars and where it's going, then this is a great comic to pick up because it's going to set you up with a lot of knowledge about Thanos, about his family, about his history, about what's happened, about what he's done, where he's going.
I've got to say as well that this one feels more like an Image comic than a Marvel comic, purely because of the way it was written and it was paced.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And it wasn't linked in once to another comic. It wasn't like a, oh, if you want to know about Thane, buy this comic.
Yeah.
Or who the hell's Star Fox? Well, if you want Star Fox, it wasn't that at all. It's a standalone comic. You're in this with Thanos and just Thanos.
Yeah.
And that is it. And I loved that. Marvel finally have nailed a Marvel Now.
Yes. About really good.
About another bloody
good
time.
Another good one. So, we're doing quite well.
We're doing it right.
That's 2 comics.
Right, do you want to do Death of X? Because then we'll do Spider-Man straight into Civil War.
Okay. So, Death of X looks at the... So, it was a four-part series.
Yeah.
4 months, taking you to the point where the Inhumans and the X-Men are going to go to war.
Which comes out next month.
It was a difficult one for me because I was expecting it to give you something huge to show why the Inhumans and the X-Men are going to war.
Well, it's an event, isn't it? It's a mini event, so you want it to feel like a mini event.
Yeah, and it didn't do that.
Oh, really?
The story behind it is you've got this Terrigen Mist, which is turning people, normal people, into Inhumans.
So I'm shit when it comes to X-Men knowledge. I don't know loads about it, but I'm pretty sure Terrigen Mist has been around for a while.
It's been, oh yeah, this has been around for ages. Okay. So this, the Death of X is actually a, like, jump back in time.
Yep. So okay.
It's a really confusing timeline because, of course, we're just about to have the war with the Inhumans and that lot.
Yep.
But what happens here has happened a little while ago.
And the war with the Inhumans is current?
Yes.
Post-Civil War?
I have no idea its connection to this. It's got to be after this Civil War.
Because the Inhumans are quite heavily involved
with the
with
Civil
War. Hence, but the Inhuman again, is based around...
Yeah, yeah, Ulysses is the main one. I'm not absolutely sure where it connects in with that, but I would guess that it's after.
I'd assume it probably
or
after.
Or maybe they just don't connect. Maybe they're just two separate things.
Which is quite likely possible.
Yeah. But they found out that this Terrigen Mist is killing the mutants.
Okay.
So if you're Inhuman, you're fine. The mist changes you. You're okay. Normal humans, you're okay if you don't get changed. But they find out that mutants from the X-Men world are being killed.
Okay.
By it. Not all of them, but a large percentage. The mist actually causes them to die. Cyclops and his team with Emma Frost and all of that lot go to this island where they've been studying the mist.
Yeah.
And they find that everyone there is dead.
That's not ideal.
No, not at all. And it's the mist that's killed them. Cyclops, of course, not happy about this. Blames the Inhumans, goes on TV basically and tells the entire world to stay the f*** away from this mist because the Inhumans have been lying to everyone and it's going to kill them.
Do we find out the Inhumans have released this mist? Is that what it's insinuating?
It's insinuating that the Inhumans knew that the mist would do this, but actually throughout the whole thing, it does, the Queen Medusa, the Queen of the Inhumans, is there saying, look, we didn't know this.
Okay.
We didn't know, you know, we can't really get rid of the mist because that's how Inhumans are and that's kind of like stopping Inhumans coming, but we do want to find a way of saying. This was part of the problem. There was never a point in the story I actually felt that they really would clash.
Okay.
Or that really was something that would cause these two groups to really hate each other.
Yeah.
Even once Cyclops had gone out and sent this message to the world, basically going, oh, look, the Inhumans are assholes. I didn't really feel like...
You think that was good because they thought, if we keep this to four issues, rather than going Death of X, eight issues, and they bolt in the war between, the battle between X-Men and Inhumans into the Death of X.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, people don't realise it's going to be a battle because there's no title sent, there's going to be a fight. And also, eight people go, pick up the first one, don't like it, go, oh, it's eight, no, I can't bother that. People pick up the first one and go, there's only four, I'll get the next one. And then it goes, oh, X-Men versus Inhumans, which sounds like a catchy line. People go, oh, yeah. I want to watch. People who don't know about the universe will go, oh, that's brilliant. This is like a mini Civil War. So do you think they've done that strategically as a marketing point and said, well, there's only four issues of this?
Oh, there's definitely a marketing thing of going, look, there's four issues and leading you into the Inhumans. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't know if, like yourself, who doesn't really know a lot about the X-Men world and the bit coming back into it, I don't think you would have learned anything from these four comics.
That's pretty...
There was only one thing I could take away from the four comics that was brilliant. And it was a case of, okay, now I see that this could have an effect on the world of the X-Men.
Okay.
But I didn't see it as a clash. And that was, okay, spoilers. I know how you like people to warn spoilers, but Cyclops dies in the first issue.
Oh, really?
But you don't know until the very last issue. Because Emma Frost uses her psychic powers to make it seem like Cyclops is still there. Cyclops dies because of the mist. Emma Frost is absolutely gutted because, of course, she loves Cyclops.
And yeah.
So it's her taking revenge.
Okay.
So the Death of X actually happens in the very first issue of the four parts.
Yeah.
But it's not until the very final one you learn that it's all been Emma Frost and that she's basically gone mental and twisted. Though everyone thinks it was Cyclops trying to start this all and Cyclops doing it, which is why Cyclops is seen as the bad guy.
See, that's...
That was really nice.
That's interesting to me. I still won't read it because I won't have a clue what's going on.
Yeah.
But that... I like it when they do that. And if it's done where it genuinely catches you out, so you're reading the fourth one, you're like, oh, shit.
What was even better about it was you find this out at the end and then you look back at the previous comics and the front cover of issue 3...
Is it like a sixth sense?
Shows... Thing? Yeah. So it shows that that Cyclops is dead and Emma Frost has got control and it's all in her mind. It actually... You look at it and you go, oh my God, it's there.
That's so clever.
Amazing.
But it's like classic Sixth Sense, isn't it? When you find out at the end, spoilers for Sixth Sense.
It's only like 20 years old now.
When you find out at the end and you're just like, no way. And you go back and watch it and you're like, it's not obvious, but there are so many points now I could quite clearly be like, yeah.
And that's why they become cult classics, you know, Fight Club and Sixth Sense and all of those ones
Usual
where you
suspects.
Sit there. Usual Suspects,
so many.
And that's what this did, and it did it really well.
So they're going to bring this out as a, well, it's not confirmed, but I'd be gobsmacked if they didn't bring that out as a mini trade.
Yeah, they will.
Do you recommend it to people as a mini trade, as a bulk read?
No.
No.
Not unless you are part of the X-Men universe and you've been reading X-Men for a while and you love the whole thing and you want to know what's going on with the Mist, then yeah, you've got to get it.
Okay.
Because it explains this really great bit about Cyclops and what's going on there.
Yeah.
But if you don't know anything about it and you're actually... It's not going to give you anything.
Okay, that's fair enough.
You'll be able to just pick up Inhumans versus the X-Men and be able to fly.
Straight into it.
And because this doesn't really give you...
Take Cyclops out of that equation.
Yeah.
Okay.
But... If you do know about the stuff,
yep.
Yes, and okay. Purely because of that great twist.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Which is not a twist anymore now.
No, sorry. No, I spoil it.
cool. All right, DevX, so should we go on to Spider-Man number 9?
Spider-Man number 9, with the Venom cover, which of course got me excited straight away.
So you pre-warned me that the Venom doesn't even feature in this, they just stuck him on a cover for... Absolutely no reason.
For me, they stuck it on so I'd run along and go, Spider-Man Venom, I've got this.
It's probably also because Venom number 1 starts in 2 weeks' time as well.
It's already started.
Oh, is it started?
Yeah, Venom number 1's out. I wasn't able to get a copy.
Is it one of the pool ones? List?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so Spider-Man. So this is between Civil War 6 and 7. And it's probably one of the issues, it's like standalone character issues, that's had the most tie-in with Civil War.
Yeah, this is
pretty
much...
There's been so many that have been like, oh, this is like... It's happening in Civil War, so this is affecting this story a little bit.
Yeah.
Whereas this was like, this is what happened to Miles Morales between 6 and 7.
Yeah, it's Civil War 6.5.
It basically is, yeah. And I really liked it, actually. I liked how it filled in between. Do you know, it just every time I read them, the young superheroes blow me away. They're just... The way they're portrayed, the way they're written... is brilliant. Like, there's parts in this where Nova and Miss Marvel had me like laughing so much when like they were talking to Miles' dad.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh yeah, he told me about this Inhuman, and then Miss Marvel's like, no way, it's so nice you guys can talk about things like that. And I was like, we need to find him. Can you just shut up and carry on?
Yeah.
And like, there's this real kind of, like I said, the way they're written, it really portrays as if they are young and naive. And they like, and they're still kind of finding their feet, and I think that's really nice. It doesn't have Spider-Man in it, which is annoyed me a little bit, but I don't know, like...
This is the bit where, so basically he's gone missing,
yeah,
and it's before so he turns up outside the Capitol building.
So it's after the Vision, that in number 6, so the whole issue number 6 is addressing the Vision of the end of number 5,
yeah,
where it's Spider-Man holding a dead, or we assume dead, Captain America, who's been impaled on some kind of spike. Now, it's insinuating that he's killed him. There's no evidence there. We don't know if he's trying to save him or what, but it's insinuating he's killed him. If I see another bloody double spread of that fucking Vision...
Oh, the Spider-Man... It's in everything
I look at. But, so this is obviously... Number 6 is addressing... Is confronting Miles. Miles basically saying, look, Carol Denver's Captain Marvel is saying that you're under arrest, you're coming with us, we're going to protect you. Tony Stark saying he's not done anything wrong yet. Like, you can't do it. And that's obviously what's happened. Miles Morales, Captain America speaks to him and says, if you want to go home, mate, go home. And he basically runs away.
Yeah.
And this is the issue that they're trying to find him. They don't actually find him. He just appears on news, so they go to where he is.
Yeah.
And he goes to the Capitol building where this Vision takes place.
Yeah.
On the majority, I really like the issue. I liked... There's a little bit of character building with some side characters. Like I said, I like the kind of the young... superheroes. There wasn't much story progression, but is that necessarily a bad thing? I don't know. There was a bit of a thing with the dad, when we found out the dad actually is...
He's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., isn't he? Yeah.
And the only thing that annoyed me with that is, like, give me more of that. That's intriguing. Like,
yeah.
And I didn't get any of that, really. Like, is the dad assigned to a mission or anything like that? Has he done it just so Maria Hill can look after Spider-Man? Like, why is he signed up to S.H.I.E.L.D.? We don't know. So I want to know more of that, but then again, maybe it's... They've not told us because they're teasing it for
future
content for later issues.
Of course, it's conflict between him and his dad, which would be interesting.
Yeah. So I read it. Civil War 6, this, and then number 7 on your recommendations.
Yeah, yeah.
And it literally was like reading just a follow-on story.
Yeah.
And
do you know what it reminded me of?
What's that?
Choosing Sides issue. Except an extended Choosing Sides issue about Spider-Man.
Yeah. No, definitely, yeah.
So it's about how the Civil War is affecting the people around Spider-Man. Yeah. Spider-Man's not in it.
No.
But it's about how the decisions and what's going on in this big war is affecting his friends, his family, everyone around him. And I feel sorry for anyone who's, I don't know, for like the kid who doesn't get a lot of pocket money and he can only buy a Spider-Man issue and he hasn't been able to get the Civil War.
$5 each, aren't they? Yeah. So they're not cheap.
And so he's got his Spider-Man. He's going to have a bad week.
Yeah, because there was...
Because you're going to be sitting there going, well,
stuff
I don't know
all to do with Spider-Man and that. It was... What has he gone missing? Where has he gone from?
Like for the rest of us who can't afford the Civil War, it's a great issue. It is a great in between.
And it leads into...
Number seven.
Which... I loved it and hated it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. So, I love the new depth they've gone to with Ulysses. Like, the ultimate depth. And it, like, Old Man Logan...
I loved his... Because he has another vision, which takes him to, like, a desolate future, doesn't it? In the desert. Yeah. And you see Hulk get killed by Old Man Logan, except Hulk looks like one of those old 1920s muscle men with the moustache and that lot.
Yeah.
I was like, I want that Hulk. Can we have this universe as a separate Marvel thing?
Just that part, when he's in that desolate world... It's written so well that it gives you enough to keep you interested, but doesn't tell you exactly what's going on. All we know is that Iron Man wound up Carol Danvers too much.
Yeah.
That's all we know.
Yeah.
All he let slip is that she couldn't take any more of it, and that's basically all we know. And Ulysses comes back to it. Now, when they're with Ulysses in that derelict world, I'm assuming it's Old Man Logan.
It is Old Man Logan, yeah.
It is... Brilliant. It's the best content I think I've seen in the Civil War this year, I think, personally.
I've got to say as well, the art style is different to the rest of the art style.
It's so Inception, Doctor Strange-esque, like, where they've got these weird kind of, like, they're reflections, but this whole universe looks parallel and bizarre and weird. And that is amazing. Just the end of it, just done my head in, like, completely really pissed me off. So I'm going to go into full spoilers at the end of it now because it's the thing. It finishes going back to Spider-Man being on the stairs of the Capitol building.
Yep.
And fucking Captain America turning up. You've seen the bloody vision, mate. You've seen what's going to happen. Miles Morales is on the steps. Why are you turning up there?
I don't know. I think if I was in his shoes, I'd probably do the same thing. Just to try and prove... Because he's on Iron Man's side, isn't he?
Yes.
So I think I would turn up just to prove the visions aren't true.
That's fair enough. Then Carol Danvers turns up and trying to talk to them all. Tony Stark turns up and has it off with, not in a sexual way.
War completely.
Yeah. Him and Carol Danvers go at it. No. Iron Man turns up with his, I always forget what it's bloody called, his giant iron suit.
Yeah, the Hulkbuster.
Hulkbuster kind of silver suit to fight Carol Danvers, and that's pretty much where it ends. These guys having a big fight, and Miles Morales being trapped in some kind of shield thing, and Captain America looking there like an absolute loner.
Yeah.
So my issue is, this event was going to be 7 issues long.
Yeah.
So that was going to be the last issue. We got 1 issue left, and there is absolutely no way they're going to tie that up in a decent way. There's no way 25 more pages are going to make everything that's gone on and everything that's just happened at the end of that issue come to a decent conclusion without it being rushed. Like, it's the penultimate issue and the last page has the fight that we've been trying to build up to. Because the fight that got good in number 5 when they had the fight...
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It lasted for half an issue. And then this vision come along and ruined everything.
And then it all stopped, yeah.
And then when it's got good with Ulysses and this vision in the future, we're going to have... So in 25 pages, they need to sum up the vision with Ulysses in the future and Old Man Logan. They need to sum up the vision with Spider-Man and Captain America.
Yeah.
They need to tie up the battle between Captain Marvel and Iron Man.
Yeah.
And if there is a fallout and someone gets killed, they need to emotionally do that in a good, effective way. And there's no way those 4 points, I think, are going to be tied up in 25 pages.
Well, I'd put money on that the battle between Danvers and Stark will be finished within 2 pages.
You reckon?
Yeah, maybe 2 pages
of
spread. Every
picture we're seeing insinuates that Cap Marvel...
Oh, Iron Man's dead.
...has defeated him.
Yeah, absolutely everything we've seen all the way through, and we've read thanks to Marvel Now and bits like that, it's pretty much Iron Man's dead, and that's what's going to screw up the Marvel Universe. I think, basically, they're going to end it with it ending badly, as in Iron Man's dead, Ulysses' vision basically stating that, well, if we don't stop Danvers from killing Iron Man, the world's going to be fucked.
Yep.
It's going to come true. Mm. As in, that's what they're stating may happen, because we still don't know if everything will go that way. But I think the battle between those two will last maybe 2-3 pages with the spread of Iron Man dying. I think we're then going to get everyone being like, oh my God, how could you do this? And Danvers being arrested.
I don't know if she'll
and
be arrested.
And then that'll be it.
Because who arrests her?
She'll give herself up. She's got this really strong moral code, hasn't she? So it's not a case of who's going to take her down because she's all beef and that lot. It's the case of people turn around and go, what you've done
too
is
many
wrong.
Fluffy parts in the story for me so far that didn't need to be there, and it could have been, in my eyes, in a completely different situation now where we're looking to number eight and we're like, oh my God. Like, so maybe someone dies at the end of this one and you're like,
yeah.
Like that impact you had when
Hulk died.
At the end of number three, I think it was. And you're like, fuck, that's massive.
What are they going to do here? This is insane.
So surely number three, Hulk dying, can't, or even Rhodey dying, can't be bigger than number eight. But at the moment, I'm saying it might well be.
Yeah, it doesn't have the cliffhanger or that moment of shock that they had at the start of it.
No, right
but
now...
the pacing fell off, didn't it?
Right now, if they kill off Iron Man next issue, I couldn't give two shits. A shock, if that makes sense. It's been so into that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you've actually done what you've shown me you're going to do the last five issues.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's not... It's...
Whereas when you turn that page to Hulk, you were like... What
oh my God!
The hell,
yeah.
I remember you texting me, being genuinely gobsmacked. Like, have you read number three yet? I need to talk to you about it.
Yeah,
but I can't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not yet, but I'll read it now. And I remember I was sat in a coffee shop, turning it over, and I was just looking at it, going, "Fucking hell!"
Yeah.
And if Iron Man, who you could argue is a bigger character at the moment in the universe, dies, it's not going to have anywhere near the impact. It's been hinted at way too much, and he's not in any other comics
after,
that have already started.
No,
after
there's no Marvel Riri now.
Williams
in
the Invincible Iron Man.
Yeah.
That, yeah, so, I don't know. We're going to do a, after number eight drops, a week after number eight drops, we're going to do a full, like a bonus.
Yes, we are. We're going to do a bonus.
Like a 20-minute discussion just on Civil War 2.
We're going to have a guest
and
we're going to
go through an order we recommend you read it in, not the issue order. So an order where Choosing Sides comes, because Choosing Sides just stopped, didn't it?
Well, Choosing Side, they'd obviously written it for the seven.
Yeah.
So you had the six in between.
Yeah,
but then it went to eight, and then there was a massive delay. But they still kept pumping out the Choosing Sides.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about what order we recommend. Read them in,
including any side issues. So, like the Spider-Man one there, and
definitely
Guardians of the Galaxy. There's definitely one there that needs to be read. And
that will be obviously a week after the number eight releases.
Yeah,
but at the moment, I'm not.
They've got to do something bloody special with eight.
I'd happily pay $7 for a double issue. I'd quite happily pay $7 for a 40-50 page issue and get it wrapped up respectfully and decently rather than a mess. But yeah, that's my and your thoughts.
that's this week's comics.
Civil War, and that is it. Because unfortunately, we can get any
But
more.
It does mean next week, I think we should definitely do a special on Empress as well.
Yeah.
Because it's the last Empress. And I've got to say, because you recommended Empress to me.
I did.
And Dan, you've got to read Mark Miller. And I got into it at number two, and it was like, holy shit, this is amazing, and then went straight out and bought number one, and then that was it was on my pull list, and it had been the one I'd look forward to. And I was worried that once Empress had finished, there wouldn't be anything for me. But luckily...
Reborn.
He brought out Reborn, so it's like, yes.
Mr. Miller, take a bow.
Yeah, and his forever just pumping out more. That guy, he mustn't stop writing at the moment. He must just be full of great ideas.
He's on one at the moment as well.
So... I think this might be the last time we do 6 Degrees of Spider-Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's a new one.
There's a new one?
There's a new idea.
Six Degrees of Bruce Wayne?
Which one?
Any of them.
So,
that'd be easy.
We should just do 6 Degrees of Bruce Willis, because I'd be great at that.
There's a new... I've not heard about a new feature.
New feature. Yeah, we're going to try something out. It's going to be, you know... And I thought this would be a nice place to wrap up Spider-Man.
Yeah.
As it would be the end of the thing, and we're heading towards Christmas.
And I need to get it in one to win, or two to draw.
No, you need to get it in one to draw.
Oh, shit. I can do that.
You could do that.
I can do that.
Okay, so I'm just going to quickly get onto IMDb.
Yeah.
I feel like we're starting to promote this as well, IMDb. For all your movie needs.
I use it religiously.
If you know fuck all about movies and are playing a movie quiz, you need IMDb.
Sarah does it all the time. She'll be watching a programme, and I'm like, oh my God, that person, what are they in? And I go on IMDb, and I'm like, oh my God, they're in that. And she's like, well, yeah, they are an actor. No, they don't just do one programme, you dickhead. Like, right?
Wow.
Smart-ass. As you can see, Married Life is brilliant.
It's working
Married
for you.
Life is brilliant.
So you've got to get from Simon Pegg...
Tom Holland.
...to Tom Holland in one move!
Simon Pegg. He's in Force Awakens.
Yes, he is. As Unkar Plutt.
So that's one I know he's in. He is in Star Trek.
Yes, he is.
Okay, where else? He's been in so many Flipping films. Who else is in Star Trek? Chris Pine.
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine's in so much, but again, I can't remember what he's in. Simon Pegg is... I know he's been some really big...
Yeah.
Oh, so he was in... he's in The Mission Impossible, isn't he, with Tom Cruise?
Yep.
Cool.
Oh, for God's sake.
Tom Cruise?
Yes,
I've got it. So he's in Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise.
Yep.
Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder with Robert Downey
Jr. Hey! Yes!
Robert Downey Jr. is in Civil War with Tom Holland.
Yay!
Three.
Way! Oh, well done.
So I lose by two.
You lose by two, which actually, considering...
My position.
Jon
Snow, you bastard. Literally, you are a bastard.
It's just Jon Snow.
He is literally a bastard.
He is literally a bastard.
So I can call you a bastard.
And it's, I don't have to worry about swearing for that one or anything, because he is a bastard.
True, you're a bastard.
Kit Harington on the other side of the hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't call him a bastard.
But I don't know.
You probably can.
He might actually be.
Well, I think his dad would have something to say about that.
Yeah. Possibly. Possibly.
Anyway, should we do our pool lists?
Yes, let's do the pool lists of... Pool lists. I was trying to be clever then. Being clever is never a good idea.
So, this is the hopeful pickups for November the 30th, but we'll also include
We'll get
Empress.
These because I'm going to be buying these online to be delivered to my door.
Oh, yes, you're changing your thing.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have Empress and Thundercat He-Man as well, hopefully, fingers crossed, to add to whatever's here. So, okay, I'm getting Aliens Defiance number 7, Deadpool Back in Black number 4, I'm wearing the t-shirt. Guardians of the Galaxy number 14.
Yep.
Revolution number 5, which is the final one. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Universe number 4.
My pool list for next week isn't as big as I thought it would be. Obviously, I'm going to have Empress number 7.
Yep.
I'm going to have Star Wars Han Solo number 5, because I didn't get that this week. I'll have Aliens Defiance number 7 also. I'll have the first Batman annual, the new Rebirth, which I'm looking forward to. The first Superman annual, the new Rebirth that I'm looking forward to. Justice League of America number 10, 7 to Eternity number 3, Surgeon X number 3, and there are others that I don't know why it's not saved them, it's really annoying me now. The Hunt number 5, which is one of my favourites easily at the moment. So yeah, my pool list is actually a lot smaller next week, which is nice little break on the wallet. Looking at about £20. I'm well happy with that.
Wonderful.
I just want to am I allowed to plug something?
Of course you can, mate.
Okay, so next week, I write for a website, or run a website, called Wookie Woody Gaming, which focuses on indie games, news and reviews coming to consoles. And next week, we are starting another podcast. So don't worry, we're still bringing Wookie and the Bear, still bringing comics, but we're going to bring also an indie podcast, indie credible podcast, focusing on indie games coming to PlayStation and Xbox. We won't have reviews. Reviews will still be on the site, but have kind of impressions of games we're playing, any news we hear, and the long-term hope is to contact some developers and have some developers on the show, and interview developers, even if that is earlier in the week and we include it into the show, but kind of getting gamers and players, I don't want to use the word educator because that's really patronising, but opening them eyes up more to these indie games around and how hard these indie developers work to bring some of the best gaming experiences I've had this year are easily on indie games.
Yeah.
It'll be releasing midweek on the website Wookie Woody Gaming, but I just wanted to plug that we are going to do that as well. So if you bizarrely like listening to our voices, then
there's another opportunity for you.
Exactly, yeah. So,
and we lose a whole load of subscribers right there.
Yeah, they're gone now.
They're gone.
Fuck that.
It was nice. Nice knowing you guys.
Yeah, but no, so that's as of next week, Wookie Woody Gaming. And that's my...
Indiecredible. Indiecredible is the name of the podcast.
Indiecredible podcast, which took me years to think of. Ages.
Ages.
Yep.
Like 3 beers.
Yeah.
If that. Brilliant.
And that's why it sounded good at the time. And now every time I say it, I'm thinking,
is that too cheesy? Or is it the right amount of cheese?
There's no such thing as too cheesy. That is Monterey Jack cheese all over.
Yeah.
That is what I want.
Okay, well, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
Yes, we will.
Yes, we will.